And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience, our DDD, Devotional Diamond of the Day. Boy, if you don't know that term by now, I cannot help you. It's called Deja Prophecy. I was going to say Deja, I don't know what I was going to say. I
think Dijon Mustard?
Yeah, that's actually what I was going to say. Dijon Mustard. Because I had Dijon Mustard last night on the chicken. No, thanks. Anyway, no, the first one's called Deja Prophecy. Never heard that term before, have you? Deja Prophecy. We make stuff up here. The second thing it's called That's Kind of Harsh. That's kind of harsh. We're going to look at the real stars. Yeah, I'm blowing this, but I'm having fun. And then finally, we're going to close it out with Live in the Ultimate.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn toward drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. And the more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. Then, after decades of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined K-Praise, and this radio program began. You are about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at. During the show, lessons for surviving, living, prevailing, and patience for those of you who can't wait for the intro to be over. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Just took the cab. Or was that an Uber? Just took it and left. Can't help you. Personal revelations, spiritual observations. I know you want me to comment on CNN, but I've told you it stands for Christians Not Necessary, so what's there to say? And my life's insanity is an oh no! So much more. It also stands for Creative News Network. Ha ha ha, that's a good one. Get it? Creative, because they make it up. We're asking you, what do you think? Give us a call, 866-577-2473. 866-K-PRAISE. Remember, any topic is technically open for conversation because it's not professional radio, it's just radio. By the way, CNN is also the Fugazi news. See if you can figure that one out. Fugazi, you know what it means? It's a fake word, meaning fake. Hilarious. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience, here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station, here in San Diego, California. You got to take a short break and then come back, but stand by for SRN News.
Local, national, and heavenly talk on the David Spoon Experience. AM 1210, K-Praise, the Christian station.
The hometown advantage. You can see it in that new shop down on Main Street, in the office downtown, the factory by the river, and the farm down the road. It's because of people like Reggie in finance and Ruth, the paramedic. Keisha, the designer, has it, and so does Orlando, the nurse. They live around here. They care about this community. They work hard to succeed. And that makes a difference. At HelpWantedSanDiego.com, we're proud to work the hometown advantage. We work it around the clock, connecting local employers and local job seekers with local jobs they're good at, jobs they deserve. Post your job today and search a database of resumes to find, select, and hire the best local employees. Employees who live close by, close to family and friends, close to home. That's the hometown advantage. HelpWantedSanDiego.com. Local jobs that work.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
You've messed up your daughter's haircut. Do you A, get spiritual?
Mom, where's the mirror?
Beauty is within. Oh.
B, find the positives.
Less time blow drying, more time texting.
Or C, show empathy.
Mom, you really don't have to.
Twinsies!
I kinda love it. You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on adoption, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I do want to let you know, if you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com. I won't use the oldest dirt joke since Cameron John gave me such a hard time. That's okay. He's a Gentile. I forgive him. Bottom line is Tugboat Todd did something really funny. Well, there's no shock in that, as he has quite the amusing personality and quite the prankster. I came in and I was working on my computer in the studio, and the mouse went dead. So I told our tech person, they put a new mouse in and it worked fine. And then I mentioned that to Tugboat Todd, and he said, "Oh, I put a piece of tape underneath your mouse, and that's why your mouse didn't work." So I went into the text room, pulled the mouse out of the garbage can, and then we proceeded to pull that prank on our very own front desk, Laura. And so I'm not encouraging you to do things that will agitate people, but if you can make somebody smile after they throw something at you, it's not bad. It's not bad. Good job, and a good fun prank by our very own Tugboat Todd. The end is not yet. That's all I got for you. Not that revenge is something that I seek, or vengeance. But I, too, understand laugh at the expense of others. Anyway, let's get into... Oh, I'm just kidding. Let's get into it. Our DDD. This is going to be one that you will probably never forget and never remember. This is probably one that you will never forget, never remember. It's called Deja Prophecy. Okay. If you got it, you got it. If you didn't, I can't help you. There's nothing I can do. Let's jump down the barrel. Deja vu. You ever heard that word? Deja vu. You know how that's defined now by most Americans? A glitch in the Matrix. I'm not kidding. A glitch in the Matrix because of the movie. What did you see? I saw that cat walk back in. What did you see? I saw that cat walk back there at the same time. Like, oh, there's a glitch in the Matrix. I mean, that's but actually, it's a French word, means already seen. That's what it means. Deja vu. Vu having to do with view. Vu. Seen. Get it? In psychology, deja vu is the illusion of having a previous experience. Unfortunately, psychology uses the definition as the illusion of having a previous experience. At least in the French, they said already seen, not making the person a nut job. But in psychology, if you're not doing what they do and crack walnuts, you're a nut job. So part of that problem is that God has a different term for that. And it has to do with prophetic communication. Uh-oh. So when we get into prophecy, uh-oh, what do we know? Well, prophecy has two primary meanings. It is, are you ready for this? It's really good for you to understand. We're going to do a real deep teaching on this later, but I'm just covering the surface right now. Prophecy is foretelling. Now, what is foretelling? That's telling beforehand. Okay? Foretelling. And forthtelling. You're thinking, well, what's the difference between foretelling and forthtelling? I'm going to tell you. Forthtelling is sharing the heart and the mind of God. We can all speak unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's defined as prophecy. Edification, exhortation, and comfort. That's defined as prophecy. When Haggai said, "The Lord is with you," that was a prophetic word from the prophet. But notice there's nothing futuristic about it. It's just, "The Lord is with you." But then there's foretelling, where things are told ahead of time. You ever heard of that? There's a prophecy. A virgin will be born. That's prophecy about Jesus. A virgin will give birth. Prophecy about Jesus, right? A virgin will be born. Sorry. Doing my best. But the idea is to understand prophecy. There will be redemption through the woman's line. In Genesis chapter 3, it makes reference to that. That's a prophecy. In fact, there are hundreds and hundreds of prophecies, of which a majority of prophecies for the New Testament were fulfilled in the life of Jesus Christ. And they were all told ahead of time. That's foretelling. Here's the big thing I want you to get. There's a lot of teaching, huh? This is what I want you to get. Prophecies speaking about the future. Ready? Are you ready? I want you to get this. Are conditional and not conditional. You're thinking, well, what does that mean? It means this. Jeremiah 18:7-8. And if any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down, and destroyed, and if that nation I warned repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I had planned. That's conditional. God's saying, if you don't change your ways, I'm going to wipe you out. But if you change your ways, I won't do it. That's a conditional prophecy. Now, I want to make sure. So, Todd, talk about Todd's my kind of like my wall that I go to make sure it's understandable. So, am I making clear that prophecy, talking about the future, can be conditional based on how people respond, and then it's not conditional. It's going to happen no matter what. Does that make sense? Is there anything about that I'm missing? I mean, it's like it's conditional and not conditional. In the conditional sense, God says, if you change this, I'll change this. If you don't change this, I'll do this. That's totally conditioned. But then again, there's other ones like the return of Jesus Christ is not conditional. It's going to happen. Those are the two things I want you to get. Now, why is that important? Why does that stuff matter? Well, when you read scripture and you read a prophecy and it doesn't have any conditions, you can bet the bank that it's going to take place if it's written in scripture. When people who used to speak in the name of the Lord used to prophesy, did you know that the Lord's litmus test is 100% or death? In other words, people will talk about Nostradamus. Well, Nostradamus predicted 36 out of 45 things. If he was a prophet of God, he would have had his head cut off. Because if you are a prophet of God and you are not 100%, you die. That's the penalty. See, God's standards are pretty high. It's like, you speak for me, and it's not me, and it doesn't come to pass, you die. Like, oh, okay. So that's why people shouldn't mess around predicting the future. It's one thing to observe and give your input. It's another thing to speak in the name of the Lord and tell people what's going to happen. Because if that doesn't come about, there is not a good end for you. You understand? So when you speak in the name of the Lord, and you're encouraging and admonishing people, it's fantastic. The Lord loves that, wants everybody to do that. If you speak in the name of the Lord and you talk about the future and you claim you're a prophet from God and it doesn't come to pass, you're in the biggest trouble you could ever be in. Now there's that serious tone. They're like, whoa, God's litmus test, 100% or death. Okay. So we know we don't mess with that, right? It's like it's either right on or not right on, right? So the Lord will tell us things that are going to happen, not conditional, tell us some things that might happen unless we change certain behaviors. Why is that important? Because there are prophecies in the Bible for the church, conditional and not conditional. You best, I best, we best pay attention. I'm not worried about somebody who stands up in the middle of church and bounces up and down. I'm worried about God who put it in Holy Writ and said, this is going to happen. And if this happens, this is going to happen. I'm concerned about that. What I want you to know is that in the prophecies of the Lord, he has prophesied wonderful things for you and I and our future that are unconditional. Just jump into the book of Revelation. You'll see the most fantastic things for believers. But there are some things the Lord foretells us for Christians that are not the most wonderful things, not the least of which, no matter what your eschatology, is that the church has a bell to persecution. When we come back, I want to share how God's words for us, his future foretelling, telling us the future ahead of time, impacts how we walk, how we think, how we adjust, how we respond. Fascinating subject, and we're really barely going to touch the surface. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back. Could it be?
It's the one and only David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
For centuries, it's been called a land of promise. Today, it's a land of blessing. This year, come and experience for yourself the only place God called my land. Experience Israel this fall and celebrate Jerusalem's 50th anniversary. A once-in-a-lifetime trip awaits as you travel with AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station, and Pastor Sean Thornton, host of All Things New Radio. Tour Israel like never before during 9 exciting days. You'll visit Galilee, the Jordan Valley, the Garden Tomb, and many such historic sites. Embolden your faith as you trace back the very steps of Jesus and experience firsthand the beauty of the Mediterranean landscapes, culinary delights, and return home with a renowned vision for your life. A dedicated team of passionate and knowledgeable professionals will lead this tour. 4 and 5-star travel accommodations will give you comfort and safety for the duration of the trip. For full cost and trip details, visit experienceisraeltour.com. That's experienceisraeltour.com.
This is Michael Medved for townhall.com. Leaders of both political parties and the most prominent voices in media all make the same mistake that poisons our politics, concentrating on the president's personality, not his policies. Debates always seem to center on Trump's character. Is he a breath of fresh air who's appropriately shaking the system, or a bigoted buffoon who's corrupt and incompetent? Democrats obsess on exaggerated charges of Russian collusion and won't debate crucial issues like health care and tax reform. Arguments over Trump's personality may boost ratings and political fundraising, but they're ultimately pointless and polarizing. Love him or hate him, he's the president for the next 3.5 years. Democrats could meet him halfway on legislation or foreign policy, but there's no constructive compromise if your main concern is savaging his character. On reality shows, contestants play clear roles as heroes or villains, but government should be about progress and programs, not nasty games. I'm Michael Medved.
I am pure Burmese and strong in my own religion. I did not want to hear about Jesus, but Pastor Ruwat came and told me about him. When Da Ai Tin first heard about Jesus, her reaction was, "I will never believe your God and change my religion." But Pastor Ruwat continued to visit, sharing God's word and answering her questions. At first, she rejected the message, but after 1 year, her heart softened. And then one day, she clearly knew that what Pastor Ruwat had been telling her about Jesus and salvation was true. Now she is a believer in the living God. We at Whitefields Ministry support pastors so people can hear the gospel.
This is David Spoon, and many of you are out there looking for an opportunity to advance the kingdom of God. Well, your partnership by praying and donating to Whitefields Ministry can advance the cause of Christ by starting more churches in needy communities. Visit whitefields.org or call 760-846-8610 and donate today.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station. Breaking out, feeling so feeling, smiling and shaking, I'll
be dancing and breaking out. Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station. Here in San Diego, California. I should remind you, I don't think I even, have I said this yet? Wow, I need help. Well, besides that, two words, therapy. If you want to reach the show, David Spoon at KPRZ.com, that's a great way to do it. We did do this first section opening up, talking a little bit about deja vu in the French word already seen, and then went right into an understanding about God's prophetic communication, that in prophecy, God foretells and forthtells. To foretell is talk about the future. To forthtell is to share the heart of God. If you will take a look at 1 Corinthians 14, you find out that's a lot more forthtelling, God sharing his heart with the people. But in that other realm, when we're talking about prophecy and talking about the future, there are some prophecies that come from God that are conditional. If I'm going to do this unless you do this. And there's some prophecies that are unconditional. Jesus is coming back, period.
right? Why is that important? Because sometimes the Lord will tell us about the future that there are some wonderful things that you and I can look forward to. And that's cool. That's a good thing. That's not a bad thing. It's a great thing. And it being a great thing, it's important to understand that those things are hopeful and we hang on to them. But the Lord does not want us to be unaware. If you will take a look at what took place in the early church, there was a man who grabbed Paul's belt and tied himself up and made mention of the difficulties that Paul was going to have in his future. So prophecy doesn't always say happy, happy, go lucky, lucky. Sometimes it says, oh, that's not great. In fact, in the early church, there was a prophecy about the great famine before the famine took place. Guess what happened? A famine took place. I'm pretty sure a famine, not good. It's like, oh, that's not good. Not everything the Lord ever shares with everybody is always super duper duper positive in that sense. So I want to bring that up, and you're thinking, well, where are you going with this? I'm going to tell you, and you're not going to believe how we're going to turn this on a dime. So in your own life, the Lord may or may not give you certain communications. There's no guarantees he will, no guarantees he won't, about things that you may encounter. I think when I first became a Christian, I had a sense there was going to be a lot of opposition, but I never dreamed of that my family would completely cut me off and not talk to me for, let's see, well, 39 years. So I don't think that was, you know, rattling in the brain. But something did happen to me, and I don't talk about stuff like this often, so I'm careful because I'm a conservative Baptist more than anything else. And I am pretty conservative. But I had a unique experience before I moved to Temecula with my wife. Well, here's the most bizarre thing. We were living in Colorado in 2002. I spent a year in Colorado twice. I don't know why. I suppose it was kind of like a rest or something. And one night I had a dream, and I told my wife and wrote it all down, but I had a dream that we were in a house. And while we were in a house, listen to how specific this gets. I was on a couch. And while I was on the couch, watch this. I was watching basketball. Wait, this is how specific. I was watching the Jazz against the Spurs. That's how specific this was. And I was watching it on a TV. Now, hold on. So here's all these things I need to tell you. I'd never seen the house. I'd never seen the couch. I'd never seen the basketball game. And I had never saw the TV. About 4.5 years later, I was in that house, on that couch, watching that game with that TV, of which I had never had any of those, and then had all of those things happen. But here was the click. In the dream, I was feeling down and frustrated. You know, these stories are all supposed to be sparky happy. I don't know how that works. That's why when people have visions of going to hell versus people have visions of going to heaven, I always listen to people have visions of going to hell because they're so scared they tell everybody. It's like, I think there's something more to that. But my mind is, I saw all these things, but I was discouraged and down. And I was frustrated in the Lord. And in the dream, I was, at the end of the dream, encouraged not to quit. That's it. Nothing more. So I was in a house I'd never seen, on a couch I had never been on or seen, watching a basketball game I had not watched between the Jazz and the Spurs, on a television I had never seen. And by the way, if I ever tell you a story about the television, you will be impressed, because that was by itself almost the most bizarre thing. Of my brother for 4 months worked in an electronics store. 4 months. Had one special deal come by. That's how I got the TV. I mean, it's just the most bizarre. I don't think he's ever worked in a store like that the rest of his life. But that's besides the point. So in the dream, I was feeling down and frustrated. And I was encouraged not to quit. And this is the passage that the Lord kind of brought me to in real time in 2006. John chapter 6, verses 60 through 69. On hearing it, many of his disciples said, "This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?" Aware that his disciples were grumbling about this, Jesus said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The Spirit gives life, and the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and full of life, yet there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him." He went on to say, "This is why I told you that no one can come to me unless the Father has enabled them." From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. "You do not want to leave me too, do you?" Jesus asked the 12. Simon Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." What I learned, you're sitting there thinking, well, what was all that for? Well, I was really discouraged. And in the dream, and the Lord was, I think, trying to encourage me or prepare me or something. And when I came to that spot in real life, it was discouraging and hard. And the Lord took me to this passage, and I realized this one thing, which was above everything else, and that is, David, you don't have anywhere else to go. There's no other place to hang your hat. You believe Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You're in this. You can be down and you can be discouraged, and it does happen, and people get frustrated all the time. But there's nowhere else to go. There's no other system I'm looking for. I'm not looking for a different Messiah. I'm not looking for, Candyland. Getting frustrated. Being discouraged is being discouraged. But the Lord knew I was going to go through this period, kind of forewarned me. And then gave me a scripture when that took place that could really help me kind of get a hold of things. Look, there are times when people want to walk away from the faith. I've talked to countless Christians who say, "Sometimes I don't even know what I'm doing." Well, I get that. I get it. That's why I talk the way I talk. It's like, I know that feeling. Yeah, I should do better. I wish I had a more steady Eddie sometimes inside of me. I think the Lord knew. It was genuine. It was real. He was preparing me, warning me, showing me. That's not deja vu. It's just the Lord giving me a prophecy going, look, this is going to happen. You need to be prepared. And I think that maybe that happens to Christians more than they think. The Lord trying to prepare you. And not everything's roses, and it's not always the greatest thing in the world. But you know what? Here's my answer. Where else am I going to go? Nobody else can help me. Only the Lord can help me, and only the Lord can help you. That's what you got to remember. When we come back, I want to look at those kind of people who think that way. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Taking a short break, then coming back. Don't go anywhere.
This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 KPRZ, the Christian station.
Hey KPRZ friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. No catchy radio jingle here, just me asking for the opportunity to earn your business. I've been a top-selling realtor here in San Diego for over two decades, having sold homes all over the county. I'll give 25% of my commission back to a ministry of your choice. I've already given thousands to Turning Point, San Diego Rescue Mission, and Samaritan's Purse, just to name a few. I'll even front any home fix-up costs at no charge to you. As a former Muslim and now Christian, I put God first personally and professionally. If you or someone you know is considering buying or selling a home, just meet with me. You have nothing to lose. I'll even share my testimony and give you a copy of my book. Call me now at 858-780-1SAM. That's 858-780-1SAM. Or visit me online for all your real estate needs, thinksam.com. That's thinksam.com. God bless.
This is John MacArthur with more Portraits of Grace. Spiritual warfare has become a popular topic in recent years. Some say we need to rebuke and bind Satan in order to oppose his power and influence. And others encourage us somehow to band together to assault the strongholds of supposed territorial demons. But spiritual warfare is not an outright frontal attack on demons and on Satan. Scripture says, rather, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The issue is to resist the devil when he comes with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, when he comes with lies and deceptions, and you resist him with the truth. I hope your commitment to the truth and holiness is strong. This is John MacArthur praying you're continuing to be portraits of grace.
We become Christian. We want to follow the Ten Commandments. Here's an aha for everybody. We're going to fail at that.
None of us are perfect, especially when it comes to parenting, as Jim Daly describes on Focus on the Family Minute.
God set that up so we would know that we needed him. And then Jesus comes along and says, well, here's two commandments. If you do these two, you fulfill the others. And that is love the Lord your God.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor. So it moves from thou shalt not to love. And so what picture of a father would you like? You want the thou shalt not father or the love father? And so that's the basis for me. I think of those Ten Commandments that way. God set that up so we knew we would fail. And then he comes along and says, love me and love your neighbor. And I would add, in all that is love your kids.
Just like God is a loving father, we should be loving parents. More today from Jim Daly at FamilyMinute.org.
Local, national, and heavenly talk. This is the David Spoon Experience on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. I was just telling Tugboat Todd I have 69 email conflicts in my email system. I don't know what that means. I just don't think it's good. It says email conflicts and then whatever, and it has a 69 unresponded to. That doesn't seem good, does it? It seems like a lot. Anyway, we were discussing in the very beginning of the show a little bit of understanding about prophetic communication. And we were talking about some prophetic things that God communicates are conditional and some are non-conditional. Sometimes the Lord will speak to you about things that are going to happen, kind of give you some prep towards what's going to happen, whether it's good or bad. And I shared in the last segment that I had something like that happen to me in 2002 and then fulfilled later in the year 2006, right about in the middle. So what I wanted people to understand about that is there are things that you are going to encounter, and not everything in the kingdom of God is a positive. And I think that's really important. There's an attempt to mix, you know, some self-improvement programs and a positive mentality, and to mix that in some capacity with Christianity as though Christianity is another self-promotion, self-preservation program, and it's nothing of a sort. To live in Christianity, you have to die. To receive in Christianity, you have to give. To believe or to see, you have to believe. All of the things the Lord wants you to do are almost in that bizarro world, the opposite. In order to discover what your purpose is, you have to cease your purpose and find Jesus's purpose. I mean, it's the exact opposite of everything. So what you find out in Christianity is that there's a lot of super cool things, and you can read Revelation to pick up on some of that. You can read throughout the scriptures to see some of that, but there are things that take place that are difficult, and there are times in the walk where it gets frustrating. And if you don't think that Jesus had any frustration, maybe you ought to read the Gospels again. There are a couple expressions in there where it's without question, Jesus is almost exasperated when he speaks. It's like it's all the nobody made that up. He's like, how long am I going to be with this generation? Jesus didn't go, how long am I going to be with this generation? That's not what he said. He goes, how long am I going to be with you guys? That's what he said. You ever done that? It's like, how long is this going to take? It's like kids in the car. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? It's like, oh my goodness, it's taking forever. So there's a humanity part to Jesus that people skip, which I don't know why. But the idea is to understand
that Jesus, in his example, made it clear that there are things that are awesome to look forward to and things that are not. The cross came before the glorification, right? You can't get away from that. Jesus was on the cross before he was resurrected. Ding! There you go. It's like you don't need anything more than that. So now I want to look at people who, you know, who maybe could have been discouraged or could easily be discouraged, but didn't get discouraged. And we have a title for this. The song or the sound is Look to the Real Stars. Look to the real.
Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
You said, why would you play it here? Because I want to show you one of the greatest superstars of endurance and all the faith, and he's one of my absolute heroes, and they ruined. Did I say ruined? They ruined it in a movie. That's right, Hollywood ruining Bible truth. What else is new, right? You know what movie I'm talking about that they absolutely ruined? Remember the movie Noah? Here's what they got right, Hollywood gotten right. There was a boat and there was water. Those are the only two things they got right in the movie. Everything else was horrendous. Rock Transformers. Rock Transformers. Come on. Right? That's right. The movie Noah. Not even their paraphernalia was nice. Their hats and coats and ponchos. It's terrible. And they took away from one of the great, great, great guys in Scripture that you only hear about it like, on television, like through fairy tale stuff. Or, you know, it's all this and, you know, or the LGBTQRSTUVWXYZ steals the symbol or the sign that God gives. And then nobody wants to talk about the rainbow because they ruined the promise of God, the indicator of the promise of God. Let me tell you something about Noah. In Genesis 5:32, it says, after Noah was 500 years old, he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, how old was he when he became the father? This is that see Dick run thing. Noah was 500 years old, and he became the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. You know what he had not yet done? Built an ark. Okay, got it. Genesis chapter 7, verses 5 through 6. Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him, and Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters came on the earth. How old was Noah when the floodwaters came on the earth? 600 years old. How old was he when he had the kids? 500 years old. How old was he when the waters came on the earth? 600 years old. How much is 600 minus 500? That's all you got to answer. Right? As Professor Why Not says, it's just math. Well, 600 minus 500 is 100. 100 years between Noah being a dad, building that boat, having the waters come upon the earth. You know what the scripture doesn't do? It doesn't show Noah hearing from God every 35 minutes. He had a task. Build an ark. Here are the dimensions. Get to work. As the New Testament tells us, he was a man of righteousness who was belittled. And we understand that it probably wasn't just the rosiest thing when people are walking by his little patch of land going, what's that? You know, it's a boat. What's that? You know what I'm saying? It's like they're like they don't get it yet, right? Do you know how long he worked on that? In that 100-year range. How old are you? I'm going to go with you're not 100 yet. Your entire life, that's how long that one task was from God to Noah. How many indicators in Scripture are there that Noah and God talked every 5 minutes, 35 minutes, 35 days, 35 months, 35 years? There's no indicator at all. You can read into it all you want. But he had a task. I imagine there were times where Noah was building the ark. And yes, I confess, I imagine that he was building the ark, that it wasn't maybe all roses. I assume maybe he hit his thumb every once in a while. I don't know. What I do know is he was given a task to do, and there is nothing else left for him to do but the task. What I know for sure is that even if it was discouraging, and even if it was monumentally humiliating, or even if it wasn't and God was just silent, he had a task, and he went to task and did his task. And it was 100 years or so. That's very possible it could have been 80. Okay, I'll concede it. Could you imagine having something that the Lord wants you to do and just doing that and nothing else and not getting 15 or 20,000 signs from God that go, keep going, keep doing it, keep building. Here's the ark in the future. You know, it's like you're just, I'm just building. I mean, that redundant is not the word. Mind-boggling is the word. I think I'd probably, it's a good thing I wasn't Noah. I think I would have lost it. I would have said, okay, now I need actual picture ID. I need an actual trip into heaven. I mean, I just would have wanted every sign and indicator there was. But instead of letting anything get him down to the point where he stopped doing the work and got so discouraged, he was better than I was. I mean, Noah was a better faithful man because he didn't just want to quit. And I feel that way from time to time. I would venture to guess that if I talked to a bunch of Christians, they would say from time to time they just want to go, you know what? I just want to, get in the car and drive out in the country, find a hotel and stay there for a week and don't think about anything in the universe. People want to do that. I understand. But God gave this guy a task and he just kept at it. And he didn't get indicator after indicator that we know of. And he did that which was set before him. And the whole reason I brought up the prophecy and the whole reason that I brought up me going through that experience and needing help and the whole reason I brought up Noah is because the Lord might have a task for you and there might be something involved and it might have to do with your future and you might not like it. But guess what? If the Lord told you to do it, do it. And keep doing it. And don't stop doing it. And keep doing it. If God hasn't told you something lately, then you should still be sticking with the last thing he told you. Do that which he set before you. When we come back, I'm going to talk about that ultimate answer in that process. And when you hear the scripture, you'll tie all three sections together, and hopefully it'll make sense. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Short break. We'll be back.
On AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Have you ever felt your prayer life with your spouse is just dead in the water?
This is Real Family Life with marriage and family expert Dennis Rainey. Today is Wednesday, June 28th.
What I'm finding is that in my mind I have this, we have to pray together every day at the end of the day. And I find that the way our lifestyle is, I get to the end of the day and we're both exhausted. And one of us maybe is already asleep. And we wake the other person up and say, hey, we forgot to pray.
You know, for my wife Barbara and me, the dry times in our prayer life remind me of the doldrums. It's an ocean condition that occurs near the equator, where the wind may die for weeks, leaving sailing ships stranded. You know what? Sometimes your prayer life can feel like it's stuck in the doldrums, too. One way to put the wind back in your sails is praying through the scriptures. Select a portion of the Bible, perhaps one of the Psalms, and read a verse or two out loud with your spouse. Then pray a comment related to the theme or phrases you've just read. Take turns reading and praying, and work your way through an entire chapter in the Psalms. One final thought. Using God's Word to talk with Him can be refreshing. Try it with your spouse tonight. Who knows? Maybe it'll even get you out of the prayer doldrums. I'm Dennis Rainey, and that's Real Family Life.
So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
Great. It sounds like we don't have a plan.
Winging It is not an emergency plan. Visit ready.gov/kids and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hey, K-Praise friends, Sam Rasul here with Keller Williams Realty. So I heard you've been on the internet trying to figure out what your home's worth. Stop that. The internet's a scary place. If you or someone you know is considering selling, call me. I'll give you a free and accurate home value report. The market is changing and you need to know what's going on. I've been selling homes all over San Diego for more than 20 years. I'm a trusted K-Praise partner and fellow believer. You have nothing to lose by calling me. My in-home consultation and home value report are free. When we meet, I'll give you a copy of my book, Muslim by Birth, Christian by Faith, and I'll even donate to your favorite charity or ministry. Call me now, 858-780-1SAM, 858-780-1SAM, or just visit thinksam.com, realestatethinksam.com. Thanks.
One in seven Americans will struggle with addiction during their lifetime. Want to know how you can help? Go to heretolisten.com for tips and tools to help turn addiction around. A public service announcement brought to you by the Ad Council.
Let's go inside the mind of a 10-year-old.
I should have worn earrings today.
Buckle up, Sarah.
Michaela's got, like, the best earrings.
Sarah, buckle up.
I wish my name was Michaela.
We're not hitting the road until you buckle up, honey.
Oh, yeah. Seatbelt. I wonder if there's pizza at school today.
It can be tough getting through to kids, but it's your job to make sure they're wearing your seatbelts. Never give up until they buckle up. A message from the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council. Visit safercar.gov/kidsbuckleup for more information.
The David Spoon Experience continues on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station.
Welcome back. Thank you for joining us here at AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. We've been talking a little bit about prophecy and about the Lord teaching people things about the future, some conditional prophecies, some non-conditional prophecies. Talked a little bit about something I went through where the Lord showed me something that was taking place in the future, but that purpose was ultimately to encourage me not to give up. And I think that was a gift. I consider it a gift. I don't consider it spiritual. I consider myself less spiritual that I needed it as to not quit in the faith. And I think there's a lot of people that go through that, and that's the honest reflection of it. Not trying to be, you know, I think everybody who's of a spiritual sort goes through, you know, periods and times in your life where you're like, oh, I don't know. I don't even know what I'm doing. So we kind of discussed that, and then we looked at the example, which was the real star, which the greatest star in Scripture to me about this patient enduring and putting up with it and going through with it and recognizing there's nowhere else to go and nobody else to listen to was really Noah, who was given a task in his in the years of his 500 realm and then got into the ark in when he was 600. So, you know, somewhere between 180 years or 80 to 100 years, you know, maybe 75 years because he had three kids in the process. This guy was working on a single task that God had commanded him. I don't think I can do a single task for God for 7 months, let alone for 75 years. This is incredible. He's like a total superstar. Total. And I think people miss that because of the cartoonisms and because of stealing the word rainbow and all this stuff. This is the guy that had a command from God to build an ark. He got the information on how to build the ark. And the next time God's talking to him, the guy's walking in the ark. It's like, what? And you get people like Bill O'Reilly, like, oh, it's just all a fairy tale. Well, then Jesus was a liar. Well, that'll make that easy. So step up, Bill. Let's use the scripture and not let's use our own brain, which I think we have enough evidence to know that people's brains are not good enough and we need to use God's wisdom and insight. So, you know, all of that to say that, you know, whatever the future holds, the Lord knows what it is. Whether it's things that are conditional or not conditional, he'll let you know what you do and don't got to do. But he holds that future. We have a responsibility to recognize that sometimes the things that we face are harsh. They're not always easy. Nobody knows. Remember that song, I Beg Your Pardon? I beg your pardon. I never promised you a rose garden. I mean, you know, it's like that's the reality. The song goes, along with the sunshine, there's got to be a little rain sometimes. Like, yep, that's part of living. And that life is exemplified in Christ, who had to be crucified before he got to the resurrection stage. Sometimes you got to go through it. There's just no question. The reality is there's just nowhere else to go. Where else are you going to get eternal life? Who else are you going to talk to? Where else was Noah going to go to commune with the Almighty? Nowhere. So we look at stuff like this, and there is an ultimate answer, and it is a specific scripture, and it does matter, and it's Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. It says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Let us not become weary. That's the first part of the verse. It's easy to be weary when you're focused on what wearies you, isn't it? And the scripture says, don't get that way when you're doing good, when you're doing things in the kingdom, because there is a proper time. That proper time, by the way, is not my time. That's God's time. There is a proper time for us to reap if we don't quit. That's why I brought this whole thing in, is because understanding that the Lord may even, you know, I mean, he's forewarned the church that there could be some trouble. And again, I don't care about your eschatology, if it's premillennial, amillennial, postmillennial. In every one of those elements, everybody is well aware that the church in some capacity loses some sense of favor in the world as time goes on, simply from a passage in Matthew 24:12, which says the love of many will grow cold. You know that that's a fact, regardless of what point you do or don't think. And just looking at the witness of the world, the love of many has grown cold. And the church has been identified as a source of frustration for the worldly and for Satan. And the Lord says, don't get weary in doing good. Don't give up. You got to kind of hang in there. You'll get what you need to get at the proper time. You'll reap a harvest. You'll actually get more than you even anticipate, and it'll be a great harvest, but you can't get there if you quit. So when I went through what I went through, I think the Lord was just trying to help me not to quit. You know, I'm a baby. I want to quit sometimes. And then the Lord's like, no, you can't do that. And you think, well, you know, that's you. He doesn't do that with everybody. He does it with everybody. Why do you think Galatians 6:9 is in the Bible? It's for you and for me. It says, let's not become weary in doing good. The proper time will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's what God wrote to us. And in John chapter 6, verse 69, where else are we going to go to get the words of life? Nowhere. You're it. We're in. It could be some hard times, Lord, but we're in. There's nowhere else to go. It's all in you. Well, that means everything will be roses. No, it doesn't. That means that sometimes you'll grab the flower and the thorn will get you in the finger. But you can't quit, because there's nowhere else to go and nobody else to serve. That's what we need to keep in mind. Okay? No giving up. Not allowed. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience here on AM 1210 K-Praise, the Christian station here in San Diego, California. Going to take a 22-hour break. Then we're going to come back. More insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.